Okay, we're going to continue now this study with one time agreement number 26. We're just going to go right on in to the address of Beachy Hollow, February the 1st, 1947. And the name of this sermon is A Worldwide Stir and Its Result. So he says, this afternoon we shall continue our study of the book of the Micah. Let us turn into the fifth chapter and begin with the first verse, Micah 5:1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. You will notice that besides introducing a number of the pronouns, he, us, they, this verse also introduces several different topics. First, a daughter of troops, then the judge of Israel, and a rod. Other subjects are introduced further along in the chapter. Now for the gain of the vision and the lesson, but the inspiration is anxious that we should, from this scripture, it is necessary that we study one subject at a time. In order to do this, we must group the verses according unto the subject. Since the subject of verse 1 is the same as verse 10 to 15, we shall quote them connectively. Micah 5:1 and verse 10 to 15. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of the troops. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Yahweh, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariot, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hand. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. These verses present a group of people, good and bad, commingled, whom Yahweh is to cleanse. Then the scripture closes with the Yahweh's promise to execute vengeance upon the heathen. The mixed group of people, wheat and tares, very obviously constitute the Seventh-day Adventist church and the 11th hour, and the 11th parabolic hour from 1970 to 2003 at Gilead Center, the third feeding pasture for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's where this prophecy met its fulfillment. That is approaching the time of the harvest, and that's right. The 11th hour is the last hour before the harvest of the 12th hour, Matthew 13:30. And the 11th hour came to an end in 2003 at Gilead Center with Brother Stephen Johnson at the head, for the time in which all idolaters are to perish. Okay. So we started judging, started down that Kermit, start the Passover. It continued until the Passover of 2003. They had a year to repent and to get it right. And they didn't do it. So shall it be at the end of the world. For the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 13:49-43. We now come unto the last part of the Micah 5:1. The antecedent of the pronoun he is found in the preceding verse, chapter 4:13. There quickly we see that it is Yahshua himself. Plainly then, this is Yahshua the Son. Plainly then, by the pronoun us, Micah means himself and his people, Judah, and Israel, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Okay. Clear it is that while the Yahshua, with his message of the warning and reproof, makes a siege against his people, the adversaries gather together in the groups for the opposing, such has been the case at the introduction of each newly revealed truth. For the church is logically called daughter of truth, because her mother, the Jewish church at the time of the introduction of the gospel of the Yahshua, gathered together in truth to oppose the Yahshua, the Son. Moreover, being smitten in the face rather than in the back, the judge of the Israel, Yahshua, must have been squarely facing them, speaking unto them, for the reason for which the Jews crucified them. For the verses that follow verse one again confirm the fact that the judge is the Yahshua. They that smite him are his adversaries, his enemies. Concerning them, inspiration says, Micah 5:9, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. According, and this took place in 2002, 2003 at Kermit, Texas. The angels came, and we had and Yahshua was the number one angel that visited us at the Passover, and the angels with him, no doubt, they severed the unconverted members of Gilead's center, and it was all of them but three of us. It says, thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversary, and all thy enemies shall be cut off. That's Micah 5:9. According to Yahshua's parable, the time that his adversaries, as his enemies of the progressive truth, are cut off is at the commencement of the purification of the church. And that commencement started at the Passover of 2002. Brother Johnson, being an angel of the seventh temple, took later says, means that he was the last prophet for the Adventist church, as the fourth group next to the last group that was called to work in the desert, on the fourth movement from 1844 to 2002, during the judgment of the dead and in the sixth parabolic hour. And the sixth seal. Then, according, and the 11th parabolic hour, Then, according unto Ezekiel's prophecy, Yahshua commissions the men with the slaughtering weapons in their hand, saying, "Go ye after him through the city, and smite, let not your eyes spare. Now to have you pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Ezekiel 9, 5 and 6. For the spirit of prophecy confirms this. Now the sin. Every seat at the church, Yahshua's sanctuary, was the first to feel the stroke of the wrath of Yahweh. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great life, and who has stood as the guardians of the spiritual interests of the people, had betrayed their trust. They had taken the position that we need not look for the miracles and their marked manifestation of Yahweh's power as in the former days. Times have changed. These words strengthened their unbelief, and they said, Yahshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. He is too merciful to visit his people in the judgment. Well, he visited us in the judgment down in Kermit, started the Passover 2002, and he stayed around for a whole year with his angel. And those angels were those five angels slaughtering weapons of Ezekiel 9. This peace and safety is the cry from the men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet for the showing Yahweh's people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. And through the apostle Peter, inspiration declares, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not?" It says gospel here. I'll put my parentheses and insertion. Obey not the keeping of the commandments of the sanctuary system of the blood of the everlasting covenant where it is applied, only in the sanctuary. And Yahshua is the high priest receiving your prayers and offering supplying his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the blotting out of your sin. 1 Peter 4:17. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. There is no doubt that this verse predicts the birth of Yahshua, the judge of the Israel, whose going forth has been of everlasting. Micah 5:6. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Crucifying Yahshua and their refusing to return unto Yahshua, there was nothing that could have been done for the Jews, and that's the Pharisees of the tribe of Judah, and that was the house of David that the Pharisees were occupying at the cross in the Old Testament time. At that time, but to give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. For the pronoun she points unto the daughter of Zion, and the daughter of Zion is your purified apostolic and typical apostolic church of the New Testament. That's your daughter of Zion. The mother of Zion is the of the Old Testament, of the purified Jewish church of the Old Testament. That's your mother of Zion. And wherever you had the purified church in the Old Testament, you had what we call the mother. But in the New Testament, it's called the daughter. The purified antitypical apostolic Sabbatarian congregation that comes out of the Adventist church. That's the first fruits, the 144,000, and the house of David is your wave sheep offering. That's your first of the first fruits, those that make up the house of David. Micah 4:10. For she is to bring forth her church, her children, while in the field, while in the Gentile land. Then the time of her sojourning is to end, and she is to be delivered. And that day said to Yeshua, but I assemble her that halter, and I will make her the halter of a remnant, and Yeshua shall reign over them in the Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. Micah 4:6-7. Now let's go read Micah 5:4-5. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Yeshua, in the majesty of the name of the Yeshua, or in the majesty of the name of the Yahweh the Father, his Yahweh, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this the man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palace. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. When the children of the daughter of Zion return unto the Mount Zion, they are to abide forever. Never again are they to be cast out among the Gentile nation. Never are they to be given up. For the Yahshua is thus to make himself great unto the ends of the earth. And she that travaileth shall have brought forth, then the saints are to raise against the Assyrian 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. That is, all of Yahweh's shepherds and all his principal men, including Yahshua as the 8th one, Micah 5:6, and they shall waste the land of the Assyria with the sword, and the land of the Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land. So the Assyrian hath come into our land here in the United States and Texas, and when he treads within our borders, That is going on right now. For the kingdom of Israel, that was destroyed by the Assyria, and also the kingdom of the Judah that was destroyed by the Babylon, even all the 12 tribes of the Israel are to be delivered. And I will declare, to Yahshua, make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of the Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all. That's your antithetical David. That's who we're dealing with right now. And there shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be a Yahweh, and David my servant shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Ezekiel 37:22-24. Micah 5:7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Yashur, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. After the judgment in the house of Yahweh takes place, and that is already taking place down at Kermit, Texas. That judgment that took place at Kermit at the start of Passover 2002, that stood for the beginning of threshing the whole Seventh-day Adventist church all the way back to this group. And that is the investigative judgment that's going on right now to determine when those five angels get through going through the house. We're in the half-hour silence. That's what the deal is. We're in the half-hour silence right now when the judgment has been transitioned from heaven to earth. We don't know how many years that takes. It was interpreted by the Vigiotta and Rhoda Thompson that it was a 7-day, a day for a year, 7 years, or a week. But anyway, all I know is that we're in the judgment of the living. We're in the 12th Parabolic Hour. We haven't seen the 144,000 yet. We haven't brought forth the purified house of David as of this time either. But we are working on it. And it is that the remnant, those that are left, are to finish the work of teaching the plan of the salvation to the brother of the everlasting covenant and to those that are waiting all over the world to hear this life-saving remedy that they can take a hold of, and it's like throwing out a lifeline to somebody that's floundering out there in the water. They're waiting for it. After the judgment in the house of Yahweh takes place, then it is that the remnant, those that are left, are to finish the work of the teaching of the plan of salvation to build the everlasting covenant unto those that are waiting to hear it, because this is what will wash away their sins and cause them then to be able to enter into the kingdom. So there's a lot of responsibility weighing on our shoulders. those who have trusted unto the intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of a rising power. They did not keep pace with the love. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. And the last solemn work, few great men will be and give. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. For Yeshua has the faithful servant, that's the Son, who is in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed to you. I mean, that's Testimony, Volume 5, page 8 of Allen G. White. So it says, then it is that they, the remnant of the Jacob, this would be the house of David then, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, Genesis 49:10, and at that time Yahshua will also be present, sitting upon the throne of David at this time. So the remnant of David, he has come and taken charge of the remnant of Jacob, the tribe of Judah. Yahshua is now here in person and taking charge of this remnant, are to be gathered into the homeland, after which they are sent as missionaries unto the Gentiles that have not heard of Yahweh's name and of his plan. Thus it is that those who escape alive from the judgment of the Yeshua, the remnant, shall be as the dew from the Yeshua, as the showers upon the grass. They shall wait for none in their missionary work. They shall bring all their brethren out of all nations for an offering unto the Yeshua. Isaiah 6:15, 16:20. Micah 5:8. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. For the Yah's people are as the dew and as the showers unto the righteous, Micah 5:7. They are unto the wicked as the lions among the beasts and flocks of the sheep. In other words, their gospel will save the penitent that destroyed the impenitent. So why is it that they got to take the gospel to them and to go save them, and then they can get them in? Because it takes the blood of the everlasting covenant to be received to get rid of people's sins before they can be gathered. And the people have to accept this blood of the everlasting covenant to cover their sins, to get it blotted out, and then they can be gathered in with the saints. And the saints are there to gather them in. Micah 5:9-14. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversary, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shall have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hand. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy city. These verses can mean only one thing, and that is that Yahweh will thoroughly praise his glory. He would take the fan in his hand and blow out the chaff. He would destroy the sinners that are among his people, and thus purifying his church, he will create a clean people, a united and zeal-filled ministry. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice, he declared, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when Yahshua shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:8, Micah 5:15. And I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What shall be the end of those that obey not the blood covenant of the Yahshua? Have a faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant so that they can eternal righteousness here and eternal life. And if the righteous scarcity spirit say, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17-18. That we miss no part of the lesson in this study, let us recapitulate the main point. To begin with, a group of the people, good and bad, commingled, are brought to view. They, as we have seen, constitute the Church of Israel, that is approaching the time of the harvest, and that would be Gilead Center in the 11th hour of 1970-2003. This prophecy is applied to that, in which the wicked are to be severed from among the just. So that judgment started at the ancient man for the house, Willis Johnson, Trumpet, Texas, 2002, comes to Pastor, Matthew 13:49. While Yahshua, with the message of the warning and reproofs, make a siege against his people. Okay. So now Yahshua was there in person at the Passover 2002, and he personally took the reins in his own hands there, and he made a siege against his own people, Willis W. Johnson and Gilead Synod, or the members of Gilead Synod. For the adversaries gathered together in groups, that's truth, to oppose, then they are to be cut off. The horses, leaders, shall be cut off. All discharged, and the chariots, gathering places, destroyed. Yahweh's people are to be thoroughly purged of the sin, of their sins and sinners, and only the penitent are to be left. They are the remnant of the Jacob, who shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall flee and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. They are to be gathered into their homeland from thence to go as a missionaries unto the Gentiles. Unto the penitent they are to be as a dew and showers, but unto the impenitent as a lion among the beasts and flocks. So the stir caused by the truth siege of the church and its adversaries, warn against it, that is already beginning to arrest the attention of the world, is the result and the cleansing of the church. Temple, Malachi 3:1-3. Thus is the Yahshua to finish his work on the earth. So Yahshua comes here in person, takes the reins in his own hand, says, sets up his visible servant, yes, answered for it, King David, gather his people, destroy the sinners, and leave them alive. Necessarily, the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on a pace that has already started. That started 20 years ago. God will have a people pure and true. Testimony Volume 5, Philly City. Okay. It says, Depth of Mercy. This is a poem or a song. Depth of Mercy. Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Then my Yah his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare. I have long witnessed his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his call, grieved him by a thousand fold. There for me the Savior stands, shows his wounds and spreads his hand. Yahweh's love I know I feel, Yahshua weeps and loves me still. End of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now this one-timely reading is number 26. We're going to close that with this song. The old rugged cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And the love that old cross with the dearest and best for the flock sinners were slain. So what shall we see, O rugged cross? How my trophies at last are laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the whole world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of Yah left his glory above to bear it to God Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last are laid down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, the wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Yahshua suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, and my trophies at last I'll lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. You call this Sunday in my home.